Today I want to show you six powerful reasons Israel still holds a unique place in God's heart, and why that should change how we pray, how we think, and how we stand in the public square. Let's end this devotion today with a prayer over Jerusalem. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. Have you checked out our websites at fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org? If you haven't checked them out, there is so much great information there that will really help you become a minister in the public square. And this will be through the way that you interact with people, how you can love people by be a blessing, all the great things that we can do as Christians outside of the church circle into those public arenas and be a blessing to those around us. Also, if you haven't subscribed, liked, shared, or commented and or placed this in your app, in the Washington Defender app, I want to encourage you to do that today. Comments really do help us on the algorithms if we're on YouTube and those different things. And so if you say, hey, I'm listening here from Sunnyside, Washington or Washtenaw or wherever you might be, I don't know, we would want to hear from you and know that you are listening in. And finally, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so much. It's really helping us accomplish our mission to defend and advance biblical values in the public square. You are making a difference because we are working on changing hearts so that changes policy. And that is what we want to encourage you to be a part of, both financially and practically, as you love your neighbor and you love God Almighty. So we are in a series called Israel, the Church, and God's Sovereignty. And this has been great to look at the unique relationship with Israel, the church, and seeing God's sovereignty over our lives. So let's read our verse for the day, and we'll break it down. I'm telling the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have a great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. This is our verse. Who are Israelites? To whom belongs the adoption, remember adoption, as sons, adoption as sons, and the glory, remember glory, and the covenants, remember the covenants, and the giving of the law, remember the giving of the law, and the temple service and the promises, remember those last two. Whose are the fathers, and from whom is the Christ according to the flesh, who is over all, God bless forever, amen. So, we are going to break down those six things and look at the Old Testament as to what God says about each one of those. That's actually where Paul is getting his information from. I mean, he's a Pharisee, he's an Israelite, and he is saying that they have these six things. Number one, it is that they are adopted as sons. Number two, they beheld the glory. Number three, the covenant. Number four, the giving of the law. Number five, the temple services. And number six, the promises. So let's break those down in the Old Testament. Number one, the adoption of sons. Have you thought of Israel as being God's sons? Israel is my son, my firstborn. You're like, wait a minute, I thought Jesus was his son. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is where we have to understand that God looked at Israel and said, this is my son. He does this multiple times. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I said to you, let my son go that he may serve me. But you have refused to let him go. Behold, I will kill your son, your firstborn. Exodus 4:22-23. Deuteronomy 14:1-2. You are the sons of the Lord your God, a people holy to the Lord. Now think about that. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's in the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. And here we have, in the Pentateuch, we have Israel being called the son of God. You are the sons of the Lord your God. You shall not cut yourselves nor shave your foreheads for the sake of the dead, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. And the Lord has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of the peoples who are on the face of the earth. You say, that's unfair. Why would God choose only one nation, one people? I don't know. He's God. He gets to make that choice. Are you comfortable with God being God? Or do you want to tell him what he needs to do? Hosea mentions in chapter 11, verse 1, out of Egypt I called my son. Here's the verse. When Israel was a youth, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. Hosea 11, verse 1. All right, so we've established that Israel is considered a son of God, and that's what Paul says, adopted as sons. We don't think of it that way, though, that they are adopted as sons, just like as Gentiles, we are adopted into the family of God as well. But it is true that Israel is adopted just like you, just like me. All right, number two, the glory. So did Israel behold the glory of God? Yeah, Exodus 16, verse 7 and verse 10, Israel sees the glory of the Lord in the wilderness. Let me read the verse. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your grumblings against the Lord. And what are we that you grumble against us? As Exodus 16, 7. It came about as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the sons of Israel that they looked towards the wilderness. And behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Exodus 16, 10. Exodus 24, verse 15, glory of the Lord on Sinai like a consuming fire. In Exodus 40, verse 34 through 35, glory fills the tabernacle. And in 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 10 through 11, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, the glory fills Solomon's temple. So, does Israel have a unique place with God because they beheld the glory of Almighty God? You're like, yeah, but those were people thousands of years prior to this. I know. But Paul thought it was important enough to write it down. So what do you have to think about that? How about the covenants? Paul writes about the covenants. So we have the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis chapters 12, 1 through 3, 15, 1 through 21, 17, 1 through 21, chapter 22, verses 15 through 18. Let's read at least the first one. Now the Lord said to Abraham, Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. What does he say he's going to make them? A great nation. Does Israel have a unique place in God's heart? With Isaac and Jacob in Genesis 26, 2 through 5, and Genesis 28, 13 through 15, and Genesis 35, 9 through 12, that covenant is reestablished and restated. That's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We know after that came Moses. And Moses' covenant was in Exodus chapters 19 through 24, especially in 19, 4 through 6 and 24, 3 through 6. There's a priestly covenant in Numbers chapter 25, 10 through 13. The Davidic covenant in 2 Samuel chapter 7, 8 through 16, and Psalm 89, and all of the Psalms 28 through 37. So they had this special covenant with God. And is God a covenant breaker or is he a covenant keeper? See, I think what's hard for us is that as Gentiles, as born-again believers, we see ourselves as the bride of Christ, which is accurate. But we struggle with how does God's love for his nation, his son, you might say our older brother, how does he fulfill that promise yet still have a bride? I know, I get it. It can be confusing at times. But think about this. I have a bride. Her name is Tanya. I have three sons, but we'll just take my first one, Isaiah, my oldest son. Am I responsible for Isaiah, my son? Yeah. am I also responsible for my bride? Yes. And so when you think about that, God is able. If we can do it as mere humans, I have four kids, all four of them I'm responsible for, and I have a covenant relationship with them in the sense of I'm their father. But the only one I have a marriage covenant with is my bride, Tanya Noble. And so you think. God has a nation, a people, children. Yeah. Remember the old song, Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord right hand, you know, and the kids would put their hands in. Well, we're children of God. And God has a covenant with us and with the nation of Israel. Okay, a unique thing that Israel has is they were given the law in Exodus 20, chapters 20 through 23, the Ten Commandments and the Book of the Covenant at Sinai. Exodus 24:12, tablets of stone, the law and the commandment. A Deuteronomy, especially in chapters 4 through 5, Moses rehearses the law for Israel. So, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before you. Thou shalt make no idols. Thou shalt honor your father and mother. I mean, keep the Sabbath. All the commandments, not commit adultery, etc., etc. Israel, the Jewish nation of Israel, received that covenant. It's a unique relationship. Temple service. Only Israel was entrusted in Exodus chapter 25 through 31 on being the priest, being in charge of the temple. And Leviticus chapters 1 through 7, the sacrificial system in Leviticus 16, the Day of Atonement, Leviticus 23, the Feast of the Lord. Israel is very special in God's sight. Numbers 28 through 29, daily, weekly, monthly, and festival offerings. 1 Kings 8, 2 Chronicles 5 through 7, temple dedication and ongoing temple worship. Paul is pointing out that they have a very special place. The promises, the patriarchal promises, the land, the seed, the blessing to be a nation, promise to be priestly kingdom and treasured possessions, Exodus 19, promise of a new heart and spirit, restoration and new covenant, Deuteronomy 30, Jeremiah 31, Ezekiel 36, the messianic and kingdom promises in 2 Samuel chapter 7, Psalm 2, Isaiah 9, Isaiah 11, Isaiah 55. So they have a very, very unique position in God's heart. There are so many more verses that we could go through. In fact, I had them in my original notes, but I was like, oh, this is going to be like a 45-minute daily devotion. Yet, right now in the United States and around the world, the spirit of Antichrist is accelerating to such a degree that we're seeing it play out in the church, where people have said Israel has been replaced by the church, or the church has replaced Israel. Anti-Semitic behavior, where somehow it seems normal to hate a people group, specifically the Jews and Christians. And then Christians hating Jews and pretending like Jesus wasn't a Jewish Messiah, that the Judeo root of Christianity isn't there. As we go into the public square today, let's be people who stand on truth. Israel is still God's chosen nation, God's chosen people. He loves them so, so very much. Yes, the church is the bride, not discrediting that, not downplaying that, but Israel has a very, very unique role. As born-again believers, whether they're Jew, Gentile, barbarian, Greek, whatever they might be, we're called to love everyone. We're only specifically called to be a blessing to Israel. It says that. And we understand that God has a special place for Israel in his heart and in his purposes. And I believe we're seeing those things play out in these last days. So would you join me in praying for the peace of Jerusalem and that blessings would begin to come on Israel? I know the wars in Iran are beginning to, well up or threaten up or spark up or what's the word I'm looking for, but it's beginning to become inflamed again once in the Middle East. We don't know if this is the Ezekiel 38 war. We don't know, if this is what this might be, but we do know that God is preparing his bride and God is preparing his nation. He loves both. Would you pray with me for the peace of Jerusalem? Heavenly Father, I just pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We know that that city and Israel, your people, are dearly loved by you, God, that you care for them, that you want to see them moved in such a way that is amazing, God. Lord, would you allow us, would you allow me, would you allow others to be a great testimony of your goodness, of your mercy, of your grace? Change our hearts from the inside out, O God. Lord, we're seeing the spirit of Barabbas rise up, the spirit of Antichrist rise up, the spirit of lawlessness rise up. And Lord, we pray as the body of Christ that we will stand and we will say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We won't give in to the lies, the temptation to hate people, to demonize certain people groups, but we will truly love each and every person. Lord, we pray that those that do not know you, whether they are Jews or Gentiles or Muslim or Buddhist or whatever they might be, we pray that they will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Thank you for leading them to truth. God, we pray for the progressive left. We pray that you would begin a work in their heart. Pull down that spirit of Antichrist. Pull down that spirit of Barabbas that says, we're going to stand for criminals and stand against those who want to do right. Lord, help them to see clearly that you are God of law and order, that you care for those around, that you want to protect citizens. God, we pray for the right, that bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, the disappointment, the frustration, all the things that are in the right's heart, God, that keep them from being effective. We pray that they will be abundantly effective today. Change our hearts, O God. God, as you said that you're going to do in Ezekiel 36, you're going to put a new heart into the heart of Israel. God, will you put into your church a heart that it longs for you? Help us to remember our first love, to walk back to you in such a way that we can be completely surrendered to your throne. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.